There were already men standing in the broken window. "Get lost, Steve," Baldwin ordered. The driver gave his tip jets another notch and tilted the rotor still more. The copter swooped away. He eased it into the traffic stream and inquired, "Where to?"
"Set it for home, and tell the other boys to go home, too. No, you've got your hands full, I'll tell them."
Baldwin crowded up into the other pilot's seat, slipped on phones, and settled a quiet mic over his mouth. The driver adjusted his car to the traffic, set up a combination on his pilot, then settled back and opened a picture magazine. Shortly, Baldwin took off the phones and came back to the passenger compartment.
"Takes a lot of copters to be sure you have one cruising by when you need it," he said conversationally. "Fortunately, I've got a lot of them. Oh, by the way, this is Steve Halliday. Steve, meet Joe. Joe, what is your last name?"
"Green," answered Gilead.
"Howdy,"
said the driver and let his eyes go back to his magazine. Gilead considered the situation. He was not sure that it had been improved. Kettlebelly, whatever he was more than a used copter dealer, and he knew about the films. This boy Steve looked like a harmless young extrovert, but then Kettlebelly himself looked like a lunk. He considered trying to overpower both of them, remembered Kettlebelly's virtuosity in rough-and-tumble fighting, and decided against it. Perhaps Kettlebelly really was on his side, completely and utterly. He heard rumors that the department used more than one echelon of operatives, and he had no way of being sure that he himself was at the top level.
"Kettlebelly," he went on, "could you set me down at the airport first? I'm in one hell of a hurry."
Baldwin looked him over.
"Sure, if you say so. But I thought you would want to swap those duds. You're as conspicuous as a preacher at a stag party. And how are you fixing?"